seeing something different here in the podcast section of WXBC1043.com, with this being the 30th and 60th anniversaries of Breckenridge County's State High School Basketball Championship teams. We would take this opportunity to talk to some of the individuals involved in those two teams, and we'll lead first off with the athletic director here at Breckenridge County High School and the MVP from that tournament, that being Patrick Critchlow. Patrick, as always, thanks for the time and giving us a lot of time here to talk a little bit about that season. I guess, first off, just talk in general about that team.
Well, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years. We were a special group. We had seven seniors, and we knew one thing that stood out to me is we all got along. We all got along with each other, and we all knew each other's strengths and didn't care who. We knew Adam was the best athlete. We knew Bradley was probably our best three-point shooter, and Jared was our best defense player. We just knew those things and communicated and hung out and talked, and we were all good friends. And I think a lot of that, as far as foundation goes, we played together for so long. And going back to our HES versus McQuaidy days, we were so competitive. We were jealous of Adam Angley and those guys at McQuaidy. They were jealous of us, and just being competitive in practice and for 4 years, it was just a special group. And I know we have a lot of questions to get through, but a lot of the losses we had leading up to that senior year made us hungrier, if that makes sense. Like our sophomore year at Grayson County, we lost in the regional finals to Grayson, which we had already beaten Grayson twice that year and blew them out in the regular season. And, man, that hurt. That hurt losing that game. And we did not want to feel that feeling again of disappointment. And so just some things running through my head right now. Just the seven seniors are getting along. We knew each other's strengths. And any given night, somebody could score and have a really good night. They shut Adam down. Jay was probably our leading scorer. Or me. Or, you know, so it was just hard. We were hard to guard. We were hard to defend because you couldn't just key on one person. And our defense was so good, you know, just kind of rambling through it. Whether it was a 1-3-1 trap low or high, our little full court, 1-2-2 half court trap or full court trap. I think also going to brag on Rob Cox, Dean Hobbs, Ronnie Carmen, Dave Miller. They coached us so well leading up to that point. As far as one thing, like Coach Hobbs, we played the King of Bluegrass several years leading up to that, playing against good teams, knowing what it took to get to the state tournament. And so all those things just kind of jump in my head right off the bat as far as that season getting started.
That sort of answers, I guess, part of your answer was the question about the mindset coming into that year. You referenced the sophomore year with the loss to Grayson County in the region. I guess that allows me to go to another question. I've got my opinion, but I'll throw it out to you. At what point during the course of that season did you start to believe or think, this is real, this can happen? For me, it's looking at a score, I believe, maybe on a Tuesday or Wednesday morning and seeing where you held a Muhlenberg North team, who I believe was the defending region champions and the powers regarded, I guess, at one of the powers in the region, to just 24 points. But was that a point where you realized this is something serious, or was there another point during the course of the season where you realized this could be something special?
I think that was a time across the state that everybody took notice. At that time, the lit ratings from the Courier-Journal came out weekly, and that's where you usually kind of rated your teams. It wasn't RPI back then. But I think everybody across the state kind of noticed that because North was ranked maybe number one at the time in the state that year. We knew it going into the season that this could be something special. We could be really good. And again, going back to our junior year, losing to Muhlenberg North at Davis County in the region semifinals, Muhlenberg North ended up making it maybe to Saturday morning at the state tournament that year. Fairdale
won it, I think, and then
yes.
But then North made that deep run there.
So. Yes, so we should have beaten them that night, and we were just so close with injuries or Grayson County game, you know, just overlooking them, having a lead late with a minute to go at Grayson our sophomore year. So we were determined from that summer leading into our senior year that we were going to win this whole thing. We were going to win this region, and we knew the teams to beat were Muhlenberg North and Muhlenberg South. North got more of the attention, and Apollo. They had Brad Wilkerson at that time. We had some dangerous teams. So playing summer ball at Muhlenberg North and beating those teams, we also played University of Heights that summer and beat them and A&U. So I think we knew all along we could win this thing. Now, winning the state tournament, probably not so much, but we were just wanting to win the region. And we were so jealous and never got the respect from Muhlenberg North, Owensboro High School, and Apollo with that lit ratings, even though we hadn't lost, but maybe we had two losses, but they were spread out, one early in the year, one late in the year. And we were never ranked number one in our region. We were always ranked two or three. So after beating Muhlenberg North at their place by 10, getting that recognition, I remember Bradley Payne talking about this. This was one of our scores that Coach Hobbs had called in at the Courier, got posted. It was actually a girls, Brent County girls score, and they screwed up. They screwed up our lit ratings. So we were just mad and ticked off all year long that we didn't get the respect that we deserved. And after we beat North in the middle of the season, it was just amazing how much attention we got from the Messenger Inquirer, Owensboro Paper, and the Courier Journal. But we knew we could win it, win the whole region, and we're determined not to finish our senior year on a loss.
Let's go now to Morgantown, Butler County High School, third region tournament. Again, out of the Sports Center, you deal with North, another impressive performance in the first round. You get through the semifinal game. You get Muhlenberg South, as you mentioned. Good team, maybe not in the conversation, as you mentioned, between the Breckenridge, North, Owensboro, and Apollo, but it still turned out to be a nerve-wracking, low-scoring, defensive game. Points were at a premium. You got the lead late. South, of course, they had a player, I think the McDonald kid, 6'5", decent athlete. Walk through those final few seconds where you had to gut it out, get a turnover, and you finally won the region. Talk about that ending.
Man, it was every possession matters in those championship games. Of course, we won 40-38. We had a 5-point lead with under a minute to go with the basketball, feeling good, and we were four corners kind of spreading out, waiting for them to foul us. And I remember giving the ball up to Payne. Payne turns it over. They get a steal, rushing back. I'm trying to stop the ball, and Clint Cobb was one of their best three-point shooters. Hits a three, literally 3 to 4 feet behind the three-point line. My hand's in his face, nails it, and that place at Butler County erupted so loud. Actually, they tied it. We were up three, and he hits that three-point basket, ties it at 38 all with, all right, now we're in 45 seconds. And that place is so loud. Coach Hobbs calls timeout. And it's up to that point, I felt good that we were going to win it. And then when they hit that three to tie it, I thought, man, we're getting the last second shot. I'm not going to let us lose. We all looked at each other. We're not going to let us lose this ball game. We've come too far. And before this game, Coach Hobbs had told us in the locker room that he was going to retire after the season. We were playing it for him, trying to get him over the hump from all the regional runners-ups that he had back in the 80s. So a few seconds left. I have the ball across half court. They didn't trap me. They stay man-to-man. And I was determined I wasn't going to pass it. I was going to make sure we get the last shot. I go a little bit too early, beat my man off the dribble, probably 10 to 12 seconds, a few seconds too early, go on the left-hand side. Nobody cut me off. Jump stop, little bank shot about 6 feet out, goes in. Place goes nuts. And, you know, imagine the track. Place was packed. Awesome feeling. Here we're up 40-38. You couldn't hear the whistles being blown. South calls timeout. We're in the huddle. Place is going crazy. So we, from that point, soon after, Adam steals it at half court. Could have held on to it. Could have thrown it back in. We would have run out the clock. He runs out of bounds. So now they get the ball at half court with three or four seconds left. We go man-to-man, and we weren't a man-to-man team. Usually it was a 1-3-1, 1-2-2. I said, I've got McDonald. He's going to get the ball. I turn around for a split second, and I lose him. Jay Seal switches. Will still gets the ball right in front of their bench, turns. Jared Whitward steps in, takes the ball right from him. Thank goodness there was no whistle blown. Wasn't a foul, but he did reach and pull the ball out. And, of course, Will was a teammate of mine at KWC and roommate of mine. he swears on his end he was fouled, but watching the tape, as soon as he turned around, Jared steals it, Will just kind of stops and walks off like there was no call, anything. So got crazy, awesome excitement. It was such an awesome feeling. I couldn't imagine watching it and being a parent and being nervous wreck the whole time. But to me, I can still remember it was yesterday. I remember the situation, and I know that's a lot, but that's what, still what's in my head.
So you win the region. First time in 30 years it's happened at Breckenridge County. You go to the state tournament. You're playing in the big house at Rupp Arena. Talk a little bit about the way you played. Because, again, at the time I was an outsider watching it. Breckenridge County played such flawless basketball the whole week. It just seemed to me, was the pressure off? As you said earlier, this was a team that had something to prove, especially in the third region to teams. Was getting to Rupp, being able to lift that burden off you to say, hey, we've won the region title, we can go up here now and just do what we want to do. Talk about that. Was that the case among the guys as you were playing that week in Rupp?
Absolutely. We were so relaxed, so relieved that we had won the region, and just felt so good because we knew we were one of the best teams in it. And honestly, we weren't looking ahead of winning the whole state tournament. Coach Hobbs will probably swear to it that he knew we were the best team. We were going to win the whole thing. But as far as the team mindset, we were all concentrated on Franklin County. Franklin County was one of the teams picked to win it. We had played them that summer at AAU and lost to them in by 2, 3, 4 points. It was a close ball game. Lost to Franklin County. So we knew we were capable of playing with them. We could beat them. And that's all we were concerned about, was beating their butts. I think having the mindset of the hard part's already over with. We're here. Let's enjoy it. We're just as good as they are. We weren't so concerned of what Franklin County does this with Roni Robinson. We were more concerned about what we do well. We are what we are, and you need to make your adjustments to us. And it took us a few minutes to settle down because I remember getting there early before the first game and just, you know, the awe and the nervousness. But we didn't trail very often, and I think just having that mindset of being relaxed, hard part's over with. Franklin County, and it didn't take long for everyone in at Rupp Arena to figure out that, hey, we're a team to be reckoned with.
Looking back, and of course we'll pick up some of the other games in just a moment, but I want to make this as an overall thing and maybe a different way of asking the question. Did it surprise you guys the way you played? I mean, you were setting records in terms of field goal percentage. I mean, you were putting up games, I'm not mistaken, I think in the 60 percentile, if not higher. Did it surprise you guys the way you were even playing at Rupp?
Looking back, it does. But being in that moment, we weren't doing anything different that we had done all year long. And shooting so well, I know Adam and maybe Cardell's names are still in the record books at the state tournament programs that you can scan now because they don't hand them out as far as field goal percentage, 9 for 9, 10 for 10, or 9 out of 10 field goal percentage. They were shooting layups or 3 or 4 feet from the basket because we were getting steals and feeding the basketball to them. So, no, that didn't surprise me in the moment. We didn't turn the ball over much. Our defense created a lot of our offense from steals and easy layups. We took good wide open shots on threes. I don't think we played out of our minds or out of our butts to beat somebody. We played like we had all year long. But looking back and thinking, Mike, yes, it does. But being in the moment, I didn't think that way.
Jay Sills, want to talk about his play, especially in those early games. Because going in, of course, all the attention was going to be on Adam as being the leading scorer. You, maybe Bradley Payne having good days. But Sills really, I believe, 3 of the 4 games, and I'm not even sure about the Marshall game, I believe either he led you or was close to the top in scoring throughout that tournament.
Jay stepped up and was remarkable. And he had done that throughout the regular season at different times. But, yes, he had 4 great games because Adam wasn't scoring that much. They were doing it. I didn't need to score, and they were doing a good job of keeping me out of the lane the first game. Jay was phenomenal against Franklin County and Scott County. And spin move turnaround on Dan Lange from Marshall County, 6'8" kid that went to Vandy. And Jay a lot of people don't remember this, but he was a kid freshman year. He probably didn't weigh 100 pounds and probably should have been cut his freshman year, but didn't hit his growth spurt till his junior year. And I'm so glad that Coach Hobbs and the coaches kept him, because he was remarkable, all-state performer. And, yes, Jay played unreal and was unselfish, not only a scorer, but a rebounder and strong and an athlete.
You talked about the Franklin County game, which, again, a lot of people, as you said, looked at the Breck Franklin winner as being a serious threat to get to Saturday night in the championship. You follow that game up again. Scott County, really at the onset of the machine that Billy Ray Hicks would eventually create there. You get a win there. Then you get Marshall County, who probably was the surprise coming in terms of team that you thought would make it to that last day of the season. Just talk about, though, getting wins. Of course, Scott County was another game, hard fought down to the wire. Marshall, you had a little bit of breathing room in that game, but talk about those two contests.
Yes, and Marshall County was a 1 or 2 point game at halftime. Third quarter, we go on a run. It was like 29-3 run in the third quarter. What I remember going into that ball game, of course, there's just four teams left at Saturday morning. We played the first game. We had some rest. We played early Friday, beat Scott County. We had all Friday night, got a good meal. I just remember, thank goodness, I finally get to sleep and relax and rest. I felt so good Saturday morning. We all felt so good Saturday after making it that far. Our defense, our little trap, 1-2-1, 1-2-2, full court trap, caused a lot of problems for Marshall County. Dan Lange, we kept him in check. And in the third quarter, when we had the big run, Coach Hobbs was able to sub in early in the fourth and get everybody in. So we not only that, we got to rest a little bit. But looking back again, that surprises me, because we kicked their butt the whole second half. It wasn't even close. And we were never in awe of Rupp Arena, or we're in the state semifinals. This is it. It was just one game at a time. Marshall County's our only focus. Jeremy Story, little point guard, went to Murray and walked on. Dan Lang, we were in the moment, concentrating on that one team, who was their best player on the at that time, and we just did our thing and just played consistent. And I think that's why we were so relaxed throughout the whole tournament that whole week.
You brought up, and I want to get this moment before we get to the championship game, a couple of sidebars I want to take here, because you mentioned them earlier. Carl Williams, Matt Manningly, John Calisi, your bench players, those were the three that you came off the bench with when you had to make substitutions. Talk about their role to this team.
Matt was awesome, because he was he could play any position. If Bradley had to come out, Matt could handle the ball, take the ball out of bounds, and help bring up the ball if we needed him to. And Matt was probably 6'4" at that time, and continued to grow as he is today, a monster. But he could also defend the inside if we needed him to. So Matt was a great all-around player, inside and out, and was capable of scoring. Didn't really need him to that year, but could score. John Calise, of course, a Milner product, strong as can be. He was more coming in for Adam or Jay if we need him. Offensive rebounds. He is another kid that could dunk it easy, and also was a great little shooter if we needed him to. Cardell, unbelievable athlete, could jump out the gym. Another kid that could dunk it easy. Quickness. And so those three subs there were great subs for Jerry Whitworth if we need him, Jay Sales or Adam, so for as far as post play. And bragging on Jerry gets overlooked a lot. He was the only junior that started for us that senior year, but was a great defensive player, another kid that could dunk it easy. So you're talking about an athlete, him, Jay, Cardell, Adam, John Cleese, rebounding machines. It made my job and Bradley Payne's job, that couldn't jump a lick, either one of us, rebound a lot easier. So I think I've touched base on all. Of course, Adam was player of the year of the region, and Payne will say he was better than what he was, but was a great three-point shooter and a great ball handler.
I want to go back to a moment, something you brought up earlier, and you've talked about again, the quest for recognition and attention. Of course, again, Owensboro being the perennial power of third region basketball, most appearances, Apollo being another team. You have Muhlenberg North, which has sort of come into their own. And you felt like it was a case of recognition and respect. I can tell you from covering that tournament, Breckenridge County became the story. It struck people, the comparisons people made to Hoosiers. You had these boys from farm country, crew cuts, getting attention. Of course, Coach Hobbs played it up in the media how you had to get up before dawn to slop the chickens or feed the hogs or something. But if there was a case of you were looking for respect, I could say during the course of those 3 days, you got it. I'll give you another personal aside, and I've told you this story before. I'm sitting Friday night watching, I believe it's PRP, the team that you'll be playing here in the championship, take on Montgomery County. And both teams were really, they were slogging through that game. It was a turnover fest. Both teams were struggling. And about three rows behind me, I could hear among the regulars who tend to this thing, they were saying, I'll tell you what, these teams may be good, but they're no Breckenridge County. Talk about the media attention. Talk about, and it seemed like you guys kind of reveled in it, and you played along with it with the media.
We did, and the Lexington Herald did a great job of covering us, and they knew we had such a fan backing from the old county was here, and I can think of after each win, we got to go back and do a little press conference with the media. Man, that was big time for us, and we. So as far as us taking that, getting attention, calling us Hoosiers, I can remember Payne, they're talking about our shorts, and Bradley Payne saying, look, our shorts are just as long. They're not the tight shorts like the kids wear now. So they were I can remember all the attention, the interviews immediately after the game. We were loving it. But I think since we were just such a a close group, unselfish, defense, hustle, on the floor – I think that's why everybody enjoyed watching us play. We were an underdog, and just people seeing that. I was so excited just from the attention we got from the Lexington Herald, the interviews, like I said, and I don't know. It was just I was just amazed by it, and maybe just being a young 17-year-old kid talking, sounding like a country hick when you're doing interviews. The fans loved it. And still to this day, going back to the state tournament, if they know Breckenridge County or if I'm around someone or if they see the last name, they know, man, 95 was one of their favorite groups. And I'll say this, looking past us, 95 kind of going ahead, Paintsville, a lot of these smaller schools started to get recognition and win the state tournament. Of course, they had J.R. Van Hoos, but yeah. I feel like we had a little part of that, kind of starting at the small school – starting that, getting a little more
recognition. Lyon County a year ago.
Yes, Lyon County. So loved it. Love every minute of it. And Rex Chapman was there with us at the time. Butch Beard, I think, showed up, or we had talked to Butch a few times. Just seemed like everything was clicking, and the way Mr. Cox and Coach Hobbs and him handled everything, it just felt so natural, like we were meant to be there, meant to happen.
Let's go to Saturday night, state championship. You take on Pleasure Ridge Park, a state champion, perennial power of Louisville basketball. I know as players you don't notice it, but I'm going to ask you the question. One of the things that struck me that night is looking up in the upper bowl of Rupp Arena and seeing three quarters of that upper bowl in maroon and white. I know as a player you don't notice it, but I'll ask the question. Did you notice the crowd that night, and were you struck by it?
I noticed our crowd every game we played. Not that I looked up, and I wasn't one that would look up in the stands and look at the crowd, but just the noise going flashbacks to the Butler County Regional Tournament. Walking in, if there's a game going on and we're walking in mid-game, the noise level. Rupp Arena was the same way. Anytime we walked out on the floor for pregame, go back at halftime, come back and start third quarter, the fan base and the noise was so loud on Rupp Arena floor, that's when we noticed it. And yeah, at the free throw line, you can see the white, maroon, and who went with bad shirts. But and then after the state tournament, after winning it, that was probably the first time I looked up. But just with the noise level, that's when I could hear the crowd and knew we had such a big following, not only from Breckenridge County, but from other people just as a state tournament fan.
Game itself, another white knuckler again, PRP testing. You knew they were going to be that. Mabry always brings in a tough competitive team. But again, Breckenridge County had done what they've done in three games in the tournament. They played solid basketball, shot the ball well, did not give up any mistakes. And you had to, because PRP was literally there with you one step behind throughout the entire game.
Yes, and able to win 70-63. And thinking about each game, Coach Hobbs was never, Franklin County will do this, this, and this. PRP will do this, this, and this. We just knew probably who their best scorer was, what kind of defense they did, and that was it. And going into PRP, we knew Charlie Taylor. We knew the Lockhart kid was 6'8" inside, going to be a good matchup for Adam. And other than that, we knew they were going to press. We've got good guard play. Adam and Jay as well can handle the ball. Jared can handle the ball just as well as we can. So we knew we had to take care of the basketball. And from the get-go, they pressed us every which way in the corner. I always had somebody, one or two guys, sometimes on me at all times. It was a lot of energy just to get open, to get the ball in bounds. But if we could beat that first trap, swing it, get it up the floor, we knew we'd be in good shape. And we were able to do that throughout the game. I'm just going to make this up, but I bet we didn't have 10 turnovers in a team that was athletic, played 10 guys. And I've seen some of the pictures now, looking at the times we were trapped and trying to get – I don't see how we did it. But we were that fundamentally sound and unselfish and always looking up with our head. So we knew we had to do that. And really, did we do anything different offensively? No. The thing that stands out early in the game in the first quarter when Jay threw it up to Adam and got a dunk, and I think Lockhart picked up his third foul, I knew right then – we deserve to be here. We're going to win this thing, and we ain't going to stop fighting to the very end. And just the noise level of that, of the whole Rupp Arena, it was amazing. I'll never forget it.
Final 30 seconds, Mr. DeHaven, God rest his soul, look at Rupp Arena, look at Rupp Arena. I think that's the moment, and it wasn't very resolved. I mean, it was him yelling at the top of his lungs. I think that's when it dawned on him. This is going to happen for you guys. When did it hit you? My God, we're going to win the state championship.
It wasn't until PRP scored the last basket. They called it a three. Charlie Taylor's foot was online, so it should have been 62. But he hit that three at the very end. 6 seconds left. Bradley takes the ball out of bounds. Ball goes underneath the scores table. And we didn't even inbound the ball with the time right now. At that point, it wasn't until that point, just a few seconds left, that I knew this was over. We are state champs, and we were going to celebrate like crazy. I was one of the idiots running around trying to find somebody. I pick up Adam, hug him, and it was just amazing feeling. But it wasn't until then when I realized it. And that has changed our life forever. Winning the region was one thing. And amazing to move on and be able to do that is just 10 times better. It's hard to explain.
Quick research I did just before we started this interview, before I came over to talk with you. Only two players, based on my research, they give out two awards. Most Valuable Player, which I think is the Lexington Herald Leaders Award, and then the Courier Journal presents a Ted Sanford Award, sort of their version of a Valuable Player. Only two players, based on my research, when they started giving the Sanford Award away, I think in 73, maybe before that, only two players have won not only the Sanford Award, but the Most Valuable Player. Those players, Richie Farmer from Clay County and Patrick Critchlow from Breckenridge County.
Man, that's amazing. We didn't want the attention. We just wanted to play basketball and it was such an unbelievable feeling to have that happen at Rupp Arena. And I'm still overwhelmed by it and can't believe it. You know, you think of Richie Farmer, what he did at state tournament, all seemed like 10 years that he played. But
10, our boy, you're like coding that one. So, like I said, I was a sophomore. I was a junior when he played as an eighth grader in his first state tournament in 1984. That was the first place he got attention.
I think about the times of AAU ball, King of the Bluegrass. We'd get our butts kicked. And going back to my eighth grade year at HES, Homer Gray would always take an eighth grade trip to the state tournament. And that time they rotated, it'd be at Freedom Hall, it'd be at Rupp. And that year, our eighth grade year was at Rupp Arena. So going to get a taste of it, to see what it was like, even at a young age, man, it always wanted me to to be there. I want to be that kid down there cutting down the nets at Rupp Arena. And very fortunate to be able to do that.
You've talked a little bit about him in bits and pieces throughout the conversation, but I want to give him his moment here, his due. Coach Dean Hobbs, talk about what he meant to this team and what he did to help you get to that moment.
Great coach. Loved his players. He worked as hard. Fundamentals. Very fair. Very consistent. You know, treated you as if he were your own kids. And he knew what roles we had and put us in a position. He put us in a position to be winners, going all the way back to our freshman, sophomore year leading up to high school. Great coach. I know I mentioned fundamentals again, but he was. And then, you know, there's at times people, it's hard to be a head coach. You can't please everybody. Been there, done that. You can't. And I know he's had issues in the 25 years that he coached. He had kids that were playing that maybe parents were doctors or on the board. It's tough. But he was always fair to us. And I think of the Bill Hughes, the Joey Watkins, the Greg Ramsers, the older kids that I looked up to that played for Coach Hobbs as well. They'd run through the wall for him. And he just meant a lot to us as a coach, father figure. And I'm so glad he was able to go out on that note. And I still remember him kissing the Rupp Arena floor, getting on his hands and knees and kissing it. And we mentioned his voice, how hoarse he was at the end of the year or at the end of state tournament. We were the one team that started the flashcards because we couldn't hear him. We knew what we were going to run, but we'd go ahead and let Coach Hobbs think. We'd let him think that he was calling out the offense, but Bradley and I knew we were going to go four low or flex or maroon or white. But, you know, they had David Miller had the signs over there. So all those coaches, Coach Carmen and Coach Miller, and especially Rob Cox, the way he handled things. We had our hotel at the El Dorado outside Rupp, closer to the castle. And Fisher, there's something else they termed it, I think, Fisher's Big Boy. We ate there every meal. And now I see Fisher Big Boy starting to close. So those are just little stories that when Bradley and when we get together, the state tournament guys get together, we talk about. So unbelievable time. And it was just a – and then we could talk days about the bus rides home and a lot of stuff going on afterwards.
How much of that – very quick question because, again, we can go for another hour here, and I've got two more that I need to get to. But talk about, I guess, that we'll – and I'll do this in two parts. First off – the immediate aftermath. You come back home. A caravan runs. You probably pull into the parking lot at the what is now the middle school, which then is the high school gym. You probably got people still in that caravan back up Sinking Creek Hill. Do you even remember the aftermath of everything in terms of that night, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, coming back to the gym? How much of that do you remember, and how much of it is just a blur?
Oh, remember every bit of it. After we won BPRP, going back to their hotel, we stayed another night in Lexington, and a lot of my family was there. And, yes, coming back, the long bus ride home Sunday morning. If I remember right, Coach Miller came back a longer way. So I'll come down 60, had to use the bathroom so bad. I do remember that. People outside from Irvington on, both sides of the row, packed with signs, waving, honking their horns, cars are decorated, and going on the stage behind the curtain. Coach Hobbs, Mr. Cox opened the curtains up. Gym was packed, signing autographs, each of us getting to talk. So I still remember it just like it was yesterday. And going back to the state tournament, one thing that changed me, I had signed on a personal note back in that October before our senior year as a I got partial scholarship at Kentucky Wesleyan, and just cause of the state tournament, it was that Sunday after when we came back from the state tournament, Wayne Boldinghouse comes in and Ray Harper and offers me a full ride at Kentucky Wesleyan. So that changed me. From a kid from McDaniels to able to afford college and being able to teach and where I'm at today. So that had a lot to not only just at that young age.
And I guess that will be the exit question that I can mold a couple of questions into one here. about how much it did change your life. Because as you said, you were a partial scholarship. Adam, of course, went with you. You parlay all of this. You become Kentucky All-Stars, which that comes up in June. Both of you make that team. And I talked about the designation. You and Adam had the ability not only to finish your high school careers as champions, but your college careers as champions, as Wesley and I believe your senior year went on and won the Division II championship. I guess I'll roll this into the question, and you mentioned it throughout the course of our conversation of how much it's changed your life. I guess just expand a little more on that. How much did winning that night in Lexington change your life?
And just able to go to college for free. And that's why I got into education, was because I wanted to coach. I wanted to coach and get involved with basketball. That's meant so much to me, from the HES Homer Gray days to having such success in high school and college, and being wanting to coach and get into education. And so that just continued. When Carrie and I were both in Owensboro, Davis County High School, and just happened to work out to come back to the high school, to come back home, both of us, not being able to do that, don't know if I would have gone to college or not. Possibly, but it probably would have been somewhere else, and who knows. So it's just, you know, one little – it's just funny how things have changed, but definitely for sure. And not only that, but just family connections or friends that I've made throughout the years. And I'm not saying I was the best player on either one of those high school or college, but I had a lot of good players, even at Wesleyan. Antonio Garcia, we had All-Americans, two All-Americans on our team. Jeff Cromwell from Simon Kenton was a great player. Will McDonald from Yulemark South. And I've just made so many friends throughout the state because of that. At Wesleyan, I was able to go to Disney World for a tournament our senior year and won it. We went to Hawaii my sophomore year. So, man, I have grown up over the years through college because of that high school state championship, to go to college, to get it free, just to have other moments to be successful in life. And it's kind of, it sounds kind of weird, but it's all worked out. I've been very lucky.
Only 36 minutes, I think, to get through this. Patrick, thank you for the time in going back and helping us to relive some of that. And we're going to be talking with some of your teammates as well. Also, we look to talk with some members of the 65 class to get their thoughts on their state championship. And that is a unique kindred relationship that you have with that group as well. But thanks for your time here and congratulations and for a great 1995 and a lot of great memories for the folks here in Breckenridge County.
Yes, an awesome run. And I had someone say something to you the other night here at the boys game, that we have four state tournament games. Three of them are on YouTube, if you Google those. And Chris Morgan is working on getting our PRP state championship game on YouTube. So they're out there, pretty good quality for 30 years ago. And I can remember our five-year reunion for state 95 state champs, and Homer Gray had Butch and these guys here, and I remember looking at them, man, those are old guys. Now it's our 30 year, and I'm thinking, man, they weren't so old. So I've had some ask, are you all better than 65? Heck, I have no idea. That's a totally different era, but
that may be a conversation for another time here to talk about comparison. But again, I could go into the comparisons, different eras, different mentalities, but that's neither here nor there. But right. Just to, again, to share that bond, to have, to know that again, you can share that with 65 and vice versa.
I couldn't beat Homer Gray as an eighth grader when we'd have PE. I'd play him one-on-one. I couldn't beat him then, so I couldn't imagine. I couldn't do it when he was 17, 18 years old. So, great time. I appreciate, Lee, you doing this, and looking forward to the reunion a month from now.
And again, we hope to have more of these conversations coming up in the podcast section of WXBC1043.com here in the near future.
One thing I told Houston on it, Sunday, on the